It is beautiful up here.
It is.
How far do you think we can see?
Well, I think you can see to Didcot because you can see the chimneys on one of the in one direction.
So what's that, about 15 miles?
Yeah.
16 miles?
Beautiful.
It is beautiful. That's Aylesbury, obviously. It is lovely when the sun's like this, though. Beautiful evening. The piece is shattered by
Microlite.
A microlite. I bet that's Blaze. And he doesn't drive, he's not one like that, is he? You couldn't make it up. We've come all this way for some peace and quiet. And we're being buzzed by a microlite.
It's coming to circle us.
Just going to royally piss me off. So we are recording.
I've noticed.
Yeah. We might have to cut some of this out because there's a lot of gaps.
Okay.
Interspersed with the sound of light aircraft annoying us. So here we are. It's a Sunday evening. Let me describe the scene at our feet. We are sat above Aylesbury Vale on one of the Chiltern Ridges up on the Ridgeway, overlooking what can only be described as the most beautiful scene. It's gorgeous. There are oak and elm in the distance, all lit by the sun, which is really low. It's not setting yet, but it's low in the sky. So all of that beautiful light, huge long shadows. It's just gorgeous. And me and Sarah come up here quite a bit as a relief, really. Usually we bring the dog. It's a good place to walk the dog. We spend an hour or so, maybe longer, out walking on the Ridgeway. Sadly, our dog is being dognapped by the in-laws for a moment. So we've to come out on our own on the end of a very long week. It's Sunday evening. And we've just come up just for the stroll. And I thought in this podcast, I'd take the opportunity, though Sarah's not very keen on it, of interviewing Sarah, who is the person on the planet I love the most. Also 50% of this business. She's a co-director of the photography business. And I'd ask her some questions about what it's actually like to live and breathe around a photographer, because the photography business, I suppose, really was initially my passion. It was like most photographers, we started out as just me with a camera to see if we had anything in it, and the passion just grew, and eventually it turned into a small business, and then it turned into a big business. And Sarah's been at my side throughout that, and I thought it might be useful to talk about what that was like. Don't scowl at me. I know you don't like being interviewed. But I just thought it'd be fun. And given lots of people ask me, and lots of people tell me they wish they had a Sarah. So I thought that would be a nice thing to do. Let's find out about the life of Sarah. So what is it like working in a photography business?
The one thing about a photography business is no day is ever the same. No matter what we're doing, whether it's shooting, showing people pictures, showing people around, preparing for an exhibition, going to shows. Every day is different, and that's just also with the people that come through the door as well. We always have different stories to tell, and I think it's a very joyous industry to work in because you're celebrating lovely times in people's lives, and I think it's a very happy job to have.
Well, it is when it goes well. What are the stresses and strains of it?
Workload for us, I think, is we work hard, very, very, very hard.
she says, sitting on a hillside, watching the world go by. There's a balloon, a hot air balloon coming over in the distance. There's two. It doesn't feel like hard work right now, but I know what you mean.
Well, it goes in pulses, so it ticks along quite nicely, and then it builds up, and there's a lot of work together. And then it will quieten down again. And I suppose at the moment we're in the middle of a busy period, so it feels like it's there's an awful lot going on.
There is a lot going on. In spite of all of the bad news around, we've just broken our all-time monthly record.
Yes,
which
yes,
is,
we have.
I mean, obviously a nice place to be, but given it rests on our shoulders, it's a lot of work. What keeps you awake at night? What worries you?
I hate letting people down, so that that always worries me, that I've forgotten something or I haven't gone back to someone when, or something like that is the bit that worries me. And so I get up early in the morning and I do my little list of list-driven person of all the things I want to have achieved by the end of the day. And it works quite well for me because both it gives me a focus for the day and it feels like I've achieved something at the end of the day if I've got to the end of all of that. I suppose the other side of it is future planning and cash flow and all of that side of the business, which sits on my shoulders with the planning. And it doesn't keep me awake at night, but sometimes when we've had quieter months, it obviously is a worry.
Yeah. And how do you deal with, I mean, you talk about getting up early in the morning and being at the breakfast table doing your lists. And I know you do that because I see you, I'm married to you. What is it like living with a photographer? now remember, we want to walk home together. Don't be nasty. You can be nasty. That's a pause. I might have to cut that out.
Is it like living with a photographer? It's, I'm hugely proud of what you achieve and what you see. When I'm often shadowing you on a shoot and I'm thinking, what on earth is he doing now? Is he dragging someone up some stairs or dragging someone under a tree? And I'm thinking, oh goodness, this is, what on earth is he up to? But your eyes and what you see is something quite special. And I suppose I love seeing that and watching that happen, because it's, I can't see it at all. It's a skill I don't have. And I often thinking, tilting my head, thinking, what on earth is he up to now? And so I love that, because it's something that's very different and a very different skill set to the one I have. And I admire it hugely.
Well, that's lovely. What's it like living with a photographer? You can say it's hell on earth if you want to, but...
Well, I don't think it is. I think the jobs we previously used to do, going back when the children were little and when we left university, that was much, much harder. I think we share the good times and the bad times, but we can influence it and we write our own story as such. Mm. Whereas when we worked for the big corporates that we did, those pressures were far harder, I think, on us as a relationship. Whereas we have flexibility and freedom and we get to travel the world, and I think we're very lucky.
No, I think we're very lucky. But I don't think it can't be easy living with a creative as such.
You don't, you work long hours. I hate it when you will be down the office late of an evening and those sorts of things, because I think you enjoy your job so much. It's your priority, and I find hard.
Yeah, no,
it's because you really do enjoy what you do. And home, I think, is, for me, I think I have a better home-work balance than you do.
Yes, no, I'd agree with you. And if I could just get a copy of all of our systems at home, I'd have work at home as well.
Yeah, but then you're working at home. That's kind of my point. I don't want you at home working. Yeah. I want you at home.
Yeah, the trouble is when me and you sit on the couch at home, we both fall asleep.
Well...
the other night, I thought I was awake until I felt pillows hitting me, and it was Jake from the other side of the lounge throwing them. He was throwing cushions across to stop me snoring because it was upsetting him.
Oh, that's because Jake's nocturnal. He doesn't get up till...
Well, he's midday and goes
midday.
To bed at 2 in the morning.
Yes.
Teenagers, huh? So you are right. We've been very lucky. But are there any things... I mean, obviously, as a podcast, people will listen to this thinking... That's a good idea. That's worked for them. What, if you could boil it down, stands out? What things stand out that have helped us be successful?
We've always put the customer first, and we've always put the customer experience first. And I think one of the loveliest things today was when our wedding couple left and we closed the door, and I heard the bride say to the groom, "That was the most magical experience." And I think that's been the big thing that we've done that's it has been our priority. It's not been about having the all about the images. It's been all about the experience. Mm. We plan. We're very organised. We know how our year's going to sit. We have a lot of experience from how previous years have gone, and I suppose I bring the financial and planning side to it. So I can see instantly how the year's going to go, and from inquiries and the analysis that I do, I feel as if I've got quite a good grasp on how the year's going and things.
Yeah. So in terms of, I mean, that's, I think you're right. I think the experience, we've always focused on the experience, but in terms of winning work, what elements, I mean, you were the strategist for our marketing and have been throughout.
Yeah.
And what has that strategy been? And, you know, have we even got close to succeeding?
Well, our strategy has always been to give, to take pictures of people in the way that they love. Mm. And we've tried to make that come across in everything we do, from our social media stories, from our the testimonials that we collect, the things we talk about on the website. When we meet people, it's what we talk about. So, yes, I think we have.
And what has there been anything that you could say to a beginning photographer? Spend some time here; it'll reap you huge benefits.
We have chosen people to affiliate ourselves well with, and I think we did that very, very, very well early on, in that we decided the sorts of brands that we wanted to be associated with, and we tried our absolute hardest to make sure they chose us as their photographer and then worked very hard with it. So Le Manoir being an obvious one, The Crazy Bear, Little Italy. Who else have we got?
Well, Fit Life these days.
Fit Life. They've been a big part of it.
So places where our clients would be seen, places where our clients would see our work.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes, and I think that's been a key part of it, is that our brand is associated with brands that our customers, the customers that we want associate themselves with those brands, and therefore we want to be associated with them too.
Yeah. I mean, you run the business effectively. I mean, I know I take, in the end, still have that creative tantrum, really, because it's got my name on the door. But you run all aspects of the business and things like purchasing and justifying expenses and things. You've always had a very pragmatic view of that. I mean, I've always said this ever since you joined the company, we've been successful because of your pragmatism about it. Even in things like, you know, I want a new lens for X, the answer has got to be, what's the return on investment? I need a camera repairing, it's a done deal.
Yes.
You know, we've got to have the tools.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Again, what's I'm trying to draw out of you, what kind of things would you say to a young photographer starting out? Because you don't have all the money in the world. You certainly don't have all of the kits you want, ever.
No. But you don't want your customer ever to feel that you've cut corners. So anything that affects the day-to-day running of your business, I've invested in very heavily. But things that will make marginal changes that doesn't affect the customer, ones where we've put, we have to plan for, and I have to understand the benefit they're going to be.
Yeah.
Whereas anything that, you know, if something's not working, we need a new max in the studio, anything like that is a kind of not even a conversation. Yeah. That has to happen, because if our customer suddenly sees things not working or not right, or it's affecting the images at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, how can we be a premium brand? Well, because they do notice things. They really do. You know, the even down to the tea and coffee that we have. We have the everything in the studio has to make the customer feel special.
Yeah.
And I try not to have anything that's broken or not working properly or that's probably what.
No, I spend my life changing light bulbs.
But in terms of big expenses, we've tried to annualise them or put them over a few years, so there's the lifetime of the of the investment so that there are no big hits, and therefore I can plan so that we buy our cameras, or the only the big Macs, or the small Macs I'm not so worried about, but the when we replace your
MacBook Pros.
We work with a leasing company so that the costs are spread over 3 years. And that works really well, from both from an accounting point of view and from being able to manage our finances.
Would you say people need to understand the accounting of their business?
Absolutely, yeah.
I knew the answer to it. I didn't need to say it.
Need to understand the cost drivers. So which bits are going out that you can't affect? So the any overheads that no matter how much work you're going to do, that you're going to have to pay that regardless.
Yeah.
And then the variable side to the costs.
Yeah.
Judged by how much work you're doing, you know. And therefore, we work on some ratios between costs and pricing, and also I've got a good grasp on how much is going out of the door. So the months when we're on cruises and not shooting, we've got to make sure there's the revenue's there, and all of that will be paid regardless of where we are and whether we're shooting or not.
Yeah, your cash flow forecasting is amazing.
Thank you.
But you do sit for hours over the breakfast table and double checking we've got everything covered.
Yeah.
I think you have to.
You have to, and it's that's a worry I don't want to have. So better to plan and forecast and get ahead of the game rather than suddenly have an unexpected bill arriving.
Well, we always have unexpected bills arriving because cameras fail at inopportune moments.
Yeah, but I've set aside money for maintenance and repair that's within the budget. So assuming you don't break everything.
I do try not to break everything.
Yeah. I think you did do 1 year where
everything
went wrong.
Yeah, even the Drobo unit.
Everything went wrong,
£1,000 worth of disk drives fell on the floor.
Yeah, that wasn't
my. That wasn't ideal. My greatest moment.
No, but
not only were they all broken, but they all contained data. That was a proper worry. Having said that, the other day a disk failed, and nobody noticed. I mean, I noticed because all the warnings came up. I ordered a new drive, slotted it into the Drobo. Nobody noticed. Nothing. Mm. We didn't. And you know, we have invested over the years pretty well.
Yes.
Touch wood. Find me someone to touch. Because you know that I'll get back tonight and there'll be emails coming in from all of our systems saying something's broken in the heat.
Yes.
We're also obviously big fans of the associations, which is a contentious issue. Not everybody agrees with associations. Some people think they're old hat. Some people think they're nepotistic, and the agendas that they have are somewhat doubtful. And I think, you know, I think that's a shame. And I think some of it is probably true, and I think some of it is misplaced. But from your point of view as a business owner, why are we still involved with the associations?
They give us a point of difference. They do give us
the fellowships, you mean, the qualifications.
Fellowships and the awards. It's things that people are going to ask questions about. We use them on all of our promotional material and all the communications that go out. No emails, no nothing ever go out without a subtext of who we are. And I think with the studio that we run, there is an element that we have to have some of that.
Yeah.
The associations for us have worked really, really well. And we've been very lucky with the awards and the fellowship that you have, but also the community side of it as well, because I think you've really enjoyed getting to know people through the regions.
Yep. And, no, absolutely. For me, I mean, the MPA in particular, well, it wasn't when we talk about it like it's an association, it wasn't. It was the people in it.
Yes.
It was, you know,
Kevin
Wilson and Desi Fontaine and a few others who I was very privileged to have as my early mentors and saw something in my work that brought me through. And then as that grew, my enthusiasm, as my skills developed, my enthusiasm for it just grew and grew and grew. And so actually it added both, I think, credentials to the business, but it also added fuel to my energy for doing it. My licentiate, you know, I got my licentiate. That was really the beginnings of the journey as we know it today, because that was in 2008. That was when I went full time into the business. And it was a proper moment, that. And I think...
But it gave you the confidence to go on to do the next stages. And I think as the early stages of being a photographer, you need some of that to sort of convince you that you're doing the right thing and got people around you that are...
Yeah, because it's when you start, or when I started, I don't know if everybody's the same, I doubt everyone's the same, but when I started out, I didn't think I was any good. I just thought I was an average photographer. People used to say, oh yeah, you're Harriet's dad. You know, I was never a photographer, I was Harriet's dad. And we had a few clients, but I had no idea if I could produce quality imagery. So for me, I needed the qualifications, I needed the process. And that's a very personal journey for me. And then the people I met along the way, you know, some of them, nearly all of them encouraged, some of them showed me things that I probably shouldn't be doing, but all of it, the net total was my photography and my confidence grew side by side. And I think part of that, the energy that we have in the business has been very, on the whole, very positive. We are positive people, mostly. I mean, do you still feel positive about it? Do you still think?
Yeah. No, probably more so now than I have done in a long time.
Yeah. Mm. It feels that way in the business at the moment.
Yes.
I mean, it's harder work than I think it's been for a long time, because obviously, you know, our workload is the biggest ever.
Yes.
And our staffing is the lowest we've had for quite a long time. So we're kind of doing more with less. But actually, I'm quite enjoying that challenge, oddly. I didn't know if I would do. And there's bits I'm not happy about. I'm not happy about being in the studio till really late, because I know we've got more than to do than I can do. But I am really enjoying it being the two of us again. Mm. You know, it's good fun. And,
yes.
And it puts you right in front of the client again. Are you enjoying being back with the client again?
Yes.
No, client facing.
Yes, because I step back from it, but I still would do a couple of reveals a month.
Yeah.
But no, I enjoy it. I like it because you get the directly customer feedback and understand what they like, what they don't like, feedback on the images, and I think it's brilliant actually.
So you've picked up designing the albums again, which you haven't done for years.
Yes.
You enjoying it?
Yeah, no, I really like it. I think because you're out of the, we've taken you out of the process, the turnaround is much faster. So
that's bloody rude.
Yeah, well, there we go. Yeah. You can definitely turn things around much, much, much quicker.
Well, my job is just to finish the images and hand them on.
Yeah.
So if anybody's listening and you don't know my workflow or the business workflow, obviously I create the images, Sarah does the selections and hands them back as a subset. So I don't get too involved with the selection process anymore. I used to, but for two reasons I stepped away. One is I'm not particularly good at it. Not in terms of what's going to go out to the client. Sarah being distant from the images helps what goes in front of the client. It's a much more powerful way of doing it. And the second is I was just very slow too. I would never quite make up my mind. And so these, just handing that to Sarah, she does it much quicker than I ever did, and she does it better than I ever did. So the images come back to me as a list or as a catalogue. I then colour them, or they go to Canada for retouch to our colourists in Canada if it's a big wedding. I then do the edits. These days, the edits are pretty much finished. By the time I let go of them, the guys really should be able to produce an album or a frame up to about 12 inches without me worrying. Once it gets beyond 12 inches, usually the image will come back to me just for one last check over. So if a client in the reveal orders a big frame, I will do a quick go over it, because there's nothing more frustrating than finding a dust spot in a frame that we get back. Now, Kaleidoscope are fantastic. Their guys are incredible at picking up little details that I've missed, but it still delays it going out by a couple of days, and it still has to come back to me. So we do that. But other than that, the workflow is such that I don't see the images again after I've let go of them, except when they come in a box and I write a tag to go on the back of the frame. I might have a look at the frame if it's a beautiful frame, or somebody says, you should really have a look at this. So that's our workflow, which is what Sarah's talking about. So once I've let go, it's very streamlined. Sarah can be uber organized.
Well, we've just tried to take you, I mean, you're at your most valuable, taking pictures and finishing the images.
Yeah.
And so we've tried to take you out of the rest of the process.
What you're saying is I'm rubbish when I'm doing anything else.
No. It doesn't need your skill to do them.
No.
So that's where myself and Michelle would look after everything after that.
Yeah.
In that's that's where the attention to detail and list-driven bits of the business
lists
come involved. That's
lists
right. And it just keeps things moving quickly.
So are you still excited for it?
Yeah, no, it's good. Very, very good.
And what's next year going to be like? What do you think?
Well, we go to Argentina in January.
Yeah, there's that.
We go to Rome and Athens at the end of the year.
Yeah.
What else? No, it's looking like a really, really exciting year because MPP will be on its feet.
Yep.
And I'm really looking forward to that side of the business as well.
Yeah, MPP being Mastering Portrait Photography, of course. We all use the shorthand for it, but if you don't know what we're talking about, it's that, which should go live. Fingers crossed it will go live in the next day or so. I might well be in a position to flick the switch tonight, depending on what I've got, the last couple of tests, just to make sure I understand some stuff. And then this podcast will be sitting in amongst, well, it already is in amongst the rest of the content. It's just not available to everybody at the moment. So yeah, MPP, another busy year, you know, hopefully more images, more excitement, more beautiful clients, more testimonials like the one today, which is just, it was lovely. I was around a client today and they were just the nicest people on earth. So if you're still smiling, then it must be a good thing. Well, here we are sitting here in the most gorgeous sunset. There's hot air balloons drifting over in the distance.
Oh, yes.
For a moment, there's no powered aircraft. It'll change. They'll be over. They always do. And we're going to walk down the hill and go have a pint, I think. Are we not?
Yes.
Right, so let's go do that. And then I shall finish the interview there with a pint in hand. And we'll talk through the last few bits.
Okay.
Come on in. Right, so we've made it, what is it, half a mile? I thought it was further. But I'm sure it's only half a mile down the hill to the Plough at Cadsden,
yes.
Which is famously where David Cameron left his baby, wasn't it?
Daughter.
His little girl in the bar. So a famous pub, actually a very lovely pub, and a landlady has just stayed open because she was supposed to close at 6 and it's now 7:45 and she still served us a very pint of very nice beer. So let's pick up the conversation with a couple of bits and pieces. The first of which is, what would you say to someone who is thinking about starting a photography business or getting involved in the business with their partner? And looking in the background, there's everyone saying goodbye to each other.
There's huge upsides to it, that you get to work with someone that you like being with. You get to see the upsides of people doing well and excelling at what they do, which makes you very proud and all those sorts of things. But the A downside, I think, is what we would both say, is that when things aren't going well, you haven't got anybody to snap you out of it. So when we did our previous jobs, if I had a rubbish day at work, I'd come home and you would have done something completely different and we'd talk about it and then I'd rationalise it and I'd go back into work the next day and everything with sort of a fresh eyes. Whereas when we've had a rubbish day at work or something's gone wrong, or we've something's not gone according to plan, we take that home with us.
Yeah.
And you don't escape from it ever.
No, I find that really hard. Is that the two of us, you have to be very careful to talk yourselves up,
yes,
not down.
Yes, and I think we've got over, with experience, you know, we play, it's an averages game. Ride the highs and the lows out, and I think over time it doesn't worry us as much, but in the early days it really, really upset us.
Yeah.
Really, really upset us.
No, that's very true, and it does have its problems, but I love being at work with you every day.
And we do very different bits of the business, because it doesn't, although we work together, I probably only speak to you 2 or 3 times during the day, you know, it's not very often, because we hand stuff on to one another, and it's not at all like we're in each other's pockets all day. We work on, you know, very, very separate bits
I've
of the business.
Yeah, I've got my little screen I pulled down.
Yeah.
Nobody can see me.
Yeah, turn the radio up. Yes.
So, that's the bit of what it's like at work, but what about work-life balance and how do you cope with all of that? Because if both of us are, the definition of working together is we're both busy at the same time.
Yes, and I suppose I've got no one to blame and be frustrated with. I think that's part of it. And so when I want to go out or want to go and do something, and I know you can't because we're working to a deadline, that's the bit, because I know it's my fault because I've set something up or And so I can't really get across with you, even though I am really cross with you. Because it's, and there's that side of it, is the, you can't say you're bloody bossy, you're such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know that tomorrow I've got to be up at the crack of dawn because I've got a deadline tomorrow, but I prioritise coming out for a nice walk tonight. But I'll do an early shift tomorrow and get the pictures finished. You know, luckily I'm pretty good at that. Going back to client experience, you talked about us prioritising the client experience as best we can, obviously. In terms of, you know, tooling up, what's your thoughts on databases and keeping a track of client information, all that kind of thing?
We couldn't live without our database, the analysis that we run. It's both a monitoring system, so it tells me how well we've done, but it also is my barometer for, I've got measures in place so I know what next month is going to be like based on the inquiries that we've got, the meetings that we've got in place. And so for me, it's a security side of it too. When I'm thinking, oh goodness, I've not got much on, or it doesn't feel like much is going on, I can refer back to what we've done last year, the year before.
Yeah.
I can forecast what's coming up in the next month.
So you're talking about, I mean, I was talking about a very basic tracking system, but you're talking about the way we use our database. We're currently using Lightblue.
Yes.
Which is that we use it partly as a planning tool, partly as a CRM tool, partly as a financial tracking tool.
Yes.
So we use all of those.
Well,
functions.
I use the information in there in different ways.
Right.
So I pull extracts out of Lightblue that I run reports on.
Yeah.
And for me, it calms when if I'm panicking or if I'm worried. Actually, I'll run the reports.
The aircraft have found us.
Yes. And it just steadies my nerves actually on what's, you know, what's coming up, what we've got in the pipeline, what we did this time last year, what we would expect to be doing.
Yeah.
And for me, it's the most important thing that we have.
Yes, no, well, I don't know if it's the most important thing, but it's certainly, we couldn't do it without it.
Yes.
It's one of those things, it's a building block of the business.
Yes.
And I'm always amazed when I talk to photographers and they don't have accurate tracking of what's going on with their clients.
No, I'm, but then I come from a very analytical background, you know, so.
Well, you do, but I don't come from that background, and I still built our first database, and it was still actually pretty sophisticated.
Yes.
It still tracked numbers, it still tracked inquiries and jobs and what we'd return to people, and you know, even before we bought into a third party one. Mm-hmm. I really don't understand how people can do it without a database. It must be scary.
Yes.
That's my view. All of these tools are not necessarily about being, they are about being a better business, but that's not the sole reason. Part of it is just you need to know that you need reassurance from your systems, from your information.
Yes.
So you wouldn't know, but this is a quiet little pub. Just about, we've had aircraft, we've walked past a steam engine, and now there's the world's biggest, huge, great American SUV has come in. They're going to be disappointed because the pub's closed. So we're sitting here on our own in a pub garden drinking. But they look like, those guys look like they're optimistic, but I'm afraid they're not going to be. So anyway, thank you. I'm married to you, and thank you because you're lovely, but for being on the podcast. If you have questions, please feel free to email them in, and we will get them answered either on the podcast or through one of the Mastering Portrait Photography forums. We always love taking ideas and answering them. But one final question, of course, which I've introduced. Sarah's not happy about this, but I've introduced it because one of the things I love, I have the best job in the world, so my life is a pleasure. But one of the few pleasures outside of that I have is drinking a really nice glass of wine. The challenge I have is I'm bloody useless at picking a really nice glass of wine. I'm one of those people that can walk, and Sarah will vouch for this, I can walk into a shop and spend 20 quid and buy the worst bottle of wine in the world. So I have introduced a weekly wine. We're going to have a weekly wine. Every week I'm going to pester Sarah for a really nice bottle of wine that either we have drunk or we're going to drink. We'll then obviously, you know, tell you what it tasted like. And I don't just mean, you know, a £4 bottle of wine that's got a nice label. I mean a bottle of wine that will make me smile and has a really nice flavour and a bit of a story to it. And we're going to do that every week, Sarah, every week.
Okay.
So what's this week's wine?
This week's wine is a Spanish Albarino. It's a wine we got to know. So we started the Haddenham Wine Club many years ago.
It was my favourite club.
And it was a very entertaining group of people who got together to taste wines. And first tried this, it must be about 5 or 6 years ago. They had it on the cruise ships, and it was our favourite wine to drink up on the open air. What's that called? The alfresco bar or whatever.
Alfresco. Yeah. Dining.
Casual dining bar. But it's a really lovely wine. Sainsbury's have got a very, very nice Albarino. It's a lovely summery wine, nice to eat with chicken and fish and at this time of year.
Or just to drink on its own.
And it smells very peachy and very, very rich, but actually it's a very dry and acidic wine. So it's an absolutely lovely wine from Spain. So I'd highly recommend it.
So there you go. Sainsbury's Albarino. Albarino. There's no I before the O at the end.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. How much is that a bottle?
It was about £10, I think.
Oh, pushing the boat out.
But it's very nice. It really is lovely. Nice. And served cold. It must be cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cold.
Cold with a barbecue running in the background.
That's right. Fish. Prawns.
Fish. Right. So this week's wine is an Albarino, Spanish. Sainsbury's have it, as do many other stockists.
Many others, yes.
So that's your target. Next week, hopefully it'll be a red wine.
Okay, that's my challenge.
Yeah, that's your challenge. A really interesting red wine. And on that happy note, thank you for listening, one and all. What an absolute pleasure. We are going to finish our pint, finish our walk with the biggest climb up the hill, then go head home and have a barbecue with a glass of something nice. So until next time, remember, be kind to yourselves. Take care.